Let's open our Bibles now to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2. We're reading at verse 21 through 22. Let's begin reading at verse 19 in order to see where we are from the viewpoint of context. 2 Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. While they, and that refers to the false prophets, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The Lord stated an eternal truth when he spoke to Nicodemus in the third chapter of the book of John and said on three occasions, ye must be born again. And as we think of these people whom Peter writes about, in these verses that I have read, we must keep in mind that in order for a person to be saved, they must be born again. And that with the new birth, there also comes another nature. And the nature that comes with the new birth is the nature of God Himself. We become like God because through being born again, we have the nature of God. And as we consider these false prophets, as Peter mentions in chapter 2, verse 1, even as there shall be false teachers among you, we have to consider the question, are these people saved or unsaved? And these verses that I have read this morning have been points of controversy for centuries. In some of the oldest commentaries that I have in my library, I read of the controversy that existed at that particular time in the early 1700s concerning these verses of Scripture. And as I have studied church history, I have noticed that oftentimes some of the people who discussed theology in the early days of the church also stumbled and also discussed from different viewpoints the nature or the character or the spiritual standing of these false teachers. And the question, of course, is, are these people saved? And then do they commit all of these errors, both doctrinally and morally, and then lose their salvation? Or are these people who have never possessed the nature of God because they have never been born again? It is my firm belief that these false teachers made a profession of faith, but they never were born again. They came into the congregation of God's people by turning over a new leaf, by moral reform. And then, because they did not have a changed nature, they began to attempt to lead the people who were God's people back into all manner of doctrinal and moral mistakes and sins. As I study their character, and as I study their fruits, I conclude that Jesus had these people in mind when he said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." They are what I believe Jesus had in mind when he said that wolves would come among the sheep, and that the wolves would not be wearing the garments of the wolf, but they would be wearing the garments of a sheep, yet they would possess the heart and the instinct of a wolf and the appetite of a wolf. I believe these are the people that the Lord had in mind when he warned us to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. The objections of which I am aware concerning the truth that I have just spoken, that truth is that these are people who were never born again, are primarily two. The first one is in verse 1. Where it states that they would deny the Lord that bought them. That seems to indicate that they are people who have been saved and have been paid for and have been washed in the blood of Jesus. And yet I understand the word of God to teach that when Jesus came to John the Baptist, that John said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And when Jesus died on the cross, he purchased heaven for every descendant of Adam. He bought all of us with his blood. But if you don't accept by faith that purchase price, you'll not be saved. And these men were bought with the blood of Jesus, but they did not trust in that blood that bought them, but trusted in their own righteousness. In these scriptures that I've read in verse 20, it states that they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that these men were intellectual followers of Jesus Christ, that they had turned over a new leaf, and that because they had become intellectual followers of Jesus, and because they had come into the flock of God, they had indeed escaped the pollutions of the world with their bodies, but their hearts were still polluted. If you want to escape the pollutions of the world, come into this congregation and sit down. And as far as I can determine this morning, you are as far from the world at this particular point in your life as you can possibly get. I think you're in the best place there is anywhere on this earth to be influenced by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the power of God, the will of God. You're in the best place God has to escape the pollutions of the world. That doesn't mean you're saved just because you're sitting in this congregation. Doesn't mean you're born again just because you're sitting here. Doesn't mean you have a new nature just because you're sitting here. But you're enjoying the benefits of those who have been born again and those who are trying to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And I believe that is the manner in which these people had escaped the pollutions of the world. The biblical evidence that I offer this morning to encourage you to believe that these false teachers, even though they taught a perverted Christianity, were indeed without the new birth and unsaved, without the new nature. The evidence that I offer are these. Peter says they are like the angels that sinned. And in verse 4, the Bible tells us that God cast them down to hell. This is the illustration. This is what Peter is saying these men are like. They are like the angels that sinned. And what happened to the angels that sinned? They were cast down to hell, to Tartarus. They are like the world of Noah that perished. The description of the world at the time of Noah living here is given and surmised in this statement that the imaginations or thoughts of their hearts are continually evil. I believe that the people who lived during the time of Noah were lost and without God. And then they are said to be like the people who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, whose lifestyle vexed the spiritual nature of Lot. And I cannot find any scripture anywhere in the Bible that teaches me that the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were saved people who simply had gone astray. They were wicked, ungodly people upon whom God rained fire and brimstone and destroyed. They are called in verse 14, cursed children. And in verse 22, I think it teaches beyond any reasonable doubt that these people were unchanged in their nature. Peter said it has happened to them according to the true proverb, or this proverb which is true, that the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter said this characterizes these false teachers. They came in to our congregation. They professed a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then they began to entice those who had just been delivered from paganism by appealing to wantonness and to lasciviousness and to all manner of sin, adulterous sins. Their eyes were always fixed on the adulterous woman. And Peter says these are people who are like dogs who vomit and then wander around for a few minutes and then return to their vomit and again consume it. God forbid, what a horrible thought. are like the sow that is washed and cleansed from the filth of the mire, and who being released then and given opportunity returns immediately to the mire and filth and wallows in it. Peter said, that is what these people have done. That is their nature. I don't think these people had ever been born again. I don't think they fell from a place of sonship with God. I don't think they ever possessed it. I don't believe they fell from grace. They never were in God's grace. Let's look at these verses that we've read now with other considerations. Peter said their latter end is worse than their beginning. He states conditionally, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This word pollution means staining or dyeing or coloring. And this word knowledge is a word that means full knowledge. These people possessed an intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ. They knew his name. They knew prophecies that had been written concerning his coming. They had heard Peter and others preach the gospel of the Son of God. And they knew the fact that were necessary for them to be converted, to be born again, but they repeated the facts, but never submitted themselves and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Now he states, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through their association with the things of God, they are again entangled therein and overcome. And this word entangled means to braid in. If you were to take white thread or white rope and take a black rope and braid those ropes together, you would be braiding in to the white ropes, the black rope, and you couldn't just simply pull the black rope out of that braided rope. And this is the word that's used. Once they have become entangled or braided into the system of life endorsed by the world, ensnared by it as an animal is ensnared in a net, once they are again entangled therein and overcome, their latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I believe this is true because I've seen it. I've seen people who were alcoholics or who had serious problems with liquor, who quit their drinking, cleaned up their lives, began to attend services, and even became active in one of the Lord's churches. But because they themselves were doing all of the activity and had never rested in the finished work of Jesus Christ, had never been saved, had never been born again, their religious activity didn't last long, and their abstinence from alcohol didn't last long, and they become more possessed of liquor after their experiment in religion than they had ever been ensnared and entangled with it before they came into touch with the Lord's work. And I believe that the adulterer, fornicator, the liar, the thief, the cheat, whatever our overpowering and overcoming sins may be, that are mentioned in verse 19, for of whom a man is overcome or overpowered, of the same is he brought in bondage, whatever. The overcoming and overpowering sin is in your life or my life, if we just get religion and do not have our souls saved and we're not born again, we'll be worse sinners after our experiment in religion than we were before our experiment in religion. I think it means that they become worse sinners in this life. That they become worse in this life. In the Word of God, in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 43, beginning at verse 43, here's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Now, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and I think that means when a man attempts reformation or self-reformation, he, that is the unclean spirit, walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house. That's the body of the reformed, self-reformed person from whence I came out, because there's not anything in it. Jesus is not there. The Spirit of God is not there. It's empty. The man simply expulsed the unclean spirit by self-reformation. But he didn't replace that unclean spirit with the Spirit of God. He said, now, when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. Now, that's not going to hell. This man's not dying. Now, notice what Jesus said. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. When you think there's any good thing left in you, when you've just simply decided to get religion, when you've decided to simply start trying to do the best you can, you may sweep and empty and garnish that spiritual house you are. But if you don't invite Jesus Christ in, if you don't become a born-again child of God, there'll be other devils. There'll be other temptations. And when they come and beset you, you will be what Jesus said. Worse. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And I believe that's exactly what Peter was writing about in this letter to God's people. Now in verse 21, I think the truth is established that God will judge according to light and opportunity. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. These people knew the truth. They knew the way of righteousness. It was not experiential or experimental, but it was intellectual. They knew it, but they turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them. What is the holy commandment? I believe it is the commandment
that Jesus said was the key to eternal life. What is the great commandment? What is the holy commandment? According to Jesus, the singular great commandment is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy body. This is the great commandment, Jesus said. These people had tried to imitate Jesus, but they had not submitted to the righteousness that is of faith. They admired Jesus. They acknowledged God. They knew about God. They knew about Jesus, but they had never yielded to the truth of the great commandment. They did not love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their body. They had turned from that final commitment. And because of that, they were unchanged people. A dog is a dog. And the proof of his being a dog is his returning to his own vomit. The Old Testament had advance us questions as this: can the leopard change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his color? And a pig or a hog, a sow is a sow. And the fact of their being a swine is confirmed by their wallowing in the mire. The dog who vomits and then returns to his vomit, while he is consuming his vomit, cannot, with his mouth filled with vomit, say, "I'm not a dog. I'm changed. I'm no longer a dog. I no longer possess the dog's nature." With the foul smell of his own vomit on his breath, he denies his character and denies his biological urges, denies his nature with the smell of his own vomit on his breath. God says, "That's not evidence. I can't accept that." The sow, once washed and clean, who from her wallow denies her hogship, cannot be believed. The sow, wallowing in her mire, who with a smile on her face says, "I'm not a pig. I have been changed." Yet with the filth of that walla all over her, how in the name of God could you believe the dog who's eating his own vomit, or the sow who's wallowing again in the mire? How can we expect the world to believe us when we say to them, "I have been born again and I have been changed and my affections have been set on high. I have not only been reformed, but my faith is in the Son of God. And now I seek to live like the Word of God teaches me to live. How can we expect the world to believe us if at the time we speak these words we wallow in the mire of the world and eat at the world's table of vomit? God said you just can't believe a person's testimony under those circumstances. I'm not preaching sinless perfection, and you know I'm not. I'm preaching separation from the world in order to prove that our natures have been changed and that we're God's people. Now listen. Now you listen to me this morning. Listen. If your appetite down deep inside you, if your appetite for the filth of this world is so great that you simply cannot keep from participating in it, my friend, you have every reason to be seriously concerned about your relationship to God. And I have every right under God to caution and to warn you that you may not be born again. Stand with me as we sing. This morning, if you're here and you've made a pretense of religion, your profession of faith before God is a sham, you feel yourself to be the chiefest of sinners, hypocrisy to be your practice, come this morning and trust the dear Lamb of God who has paid and bought for you, who's bought you with His blood. Trust Him. Love Him.